5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
When you go to the circus, do you watch the elephant?
Put moron number two on the phone.
You reckon the elephant would be there if there weren't people paying?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
All right, Fats worn me down. I've worked really hard on this show now for months and months and months. And eventually, Rabbits, I can't put up with him anymore. And I've had to bugger off down the coast and get myself a long way away from him because his behaviour Saturday night just tipped me over the edge. I'll tell you what we're doing. Damien Barrett is going to join us. We're going to talk footy with Purple, a couple of segments, good, bad, buses, all the rest of it. Stories are trending unusual? Might well get the arse. And then, of course, a nice joke to finish. Hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy boy. I'm in sunny Geelong here, 25 degrees, beautiful. Looking forward to today's show when we talk about the Cats and Friday night. G'day to you, Rabsy.
Hey, Bill, there was some big news out of last night's game. We've already dealt with that in the first part of our show. But the biggest news...
Thank you, Brian.
Brian.
Hey, Bill.
Brian. Hey, what is that,
Bill.
Brian?
Oh, Brian. That was
you
Bill.
Can't be
and
doing that, Bristol.
It smelled. Oh, it smelled. That's our good friend, Brian, of course, Jimmy boy. Hey, now, yes. I know Damo comes in and does footy, but I've got some local footy off the top here, Jim. Ooh. Because guess what, my friend?
I read this today.
The mob that we spoke to during the week, the Admona Bushcats, haven't won a game for 2,121 days. They won on the weekend. They won on Saturday. They won by 127 points, if you don't mind. They beat Longwood, Jim. And also our man Plugger that we spoke to, he's a president, but also coaches the seconds. They won by 90 points. Well done to Plugger. Well done to Croft, of course. And they tried to carry Plugger off the ground, Jim, and six blokes tried it. three did their shoulder and the other two did their spleen. So out for next
week. He was 158 centimetres high and 150 kilos.
Plugger. Big plugger.
Oh, Plugger. So what was their song again, Rabbits? It was, there's a track winding back winding to back. It. Yeah. Was it that one?
Gundagai.
So that it was the first time they've sung that, Fat, for 2,000 plus days.
That was great. So well done to Croft and Admona there. Hey, also some rugby league.
Rugby league.
Rugby league.
What about Melbourne Storm? Did you see the score here, Jim? Played Wayne Bennett's mob, the Rabbitohs, 50-0.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. 50-0. And Josh Adokar scored six tries, Jim. Six. Count them. Six. There you go. Six tries. And that is he's the first player in 71 years, Jim, to score six tries. Well done,
dude.
He loved it too. He really did. Hey, basketball. I tell you what, if you want to play well in sport and do well in life, you join the Rush Hour. Because guess what? Melbourne Unite won the other night. They bounced back. They beat the Phoenix.
Melbourne United.
But guess who was the dominant big man? Our man, Jock. Jock Landale, 27 points, 7 rebounds. Wow. He just bullied them around, the old Phoenix. So well done to him. Again, one of our men. So there's two winners there. They've come on the show last week. In rugby union, the Queensland Reds.
I meant that.
The Queensland Reds defeated the Brumbies there, and James O'Connor scored a try 5 minutes.
So what? What do we care about the Reds and the Brumbies?
Well, it's a grand final, and the best jockey in Australia, Jim, Jamie Carr, she rode 5 winners out of 6 rides on Saturday. She is a star, and they're all short, but as they say, I wrote it down here. Sometimes the littlest fish are the sweetest, Jim. So they're all short. Well done to her.
No one ever says that. Oh, that's, I've never heard that in my life.
Grandpa. Confucius.
Sometimes
that,
the littlest fish are the sweetest.
It's beautiful.
That's never been a saying.
She's moved to 86 winners on Saturday. She's 31 ahead of the nearest rival, Jim. She is the best jockey in Australia. Well done to her, Jamie Carr. And that's about all, unless you want to talk any golf or anything, Jim.
No, what I want to talk with you is your behaviour on Saturday night, because I still can't get over how big a nuff-nuff you are. Like, I just when I think that Bill has displayed enough-like behaviour that can't be ever comprehended,
yes.
You then come forward, like the other night, you know, with Jeff Kennett and your brother and that you know, where you just embarrassed our whole show.
Not
so that, we think, well, okay, that it can't get worse than that. That's just Bill at his worst. And then Geelong have a big win over the reigning premier at the MCG. You end up in the race.
Yes.
And then you won't end up down in the rooms for no reason other than you're just a tragic cheerleader.
I can't believe Chris Scott didn't say, hey, Billy, come over and join the song. Then, Jim, then you would have had something to go with. Don't worry about that. But great win. Very proud of my boys. And they come up and they just want to have a chat to the past players.
No, they didn't.
Superstars.
No, they didn't.
In the room.
We actually spoke to Zach Tui and he said, oh, what the hell are you even doing in here?
And I think Tom Stewart said, Bill, what are you doing? I can't get my wife in here, but you're in here, fat. What are you doing?
Anyway, I can see purple through the glass all the way from my joint. We better get to him next.
Damien Barrett in the studio next to go through the positives of round 8 of AFL action. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We'll get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Now, Purple, let me just ask you this question. Now, you come on to the Rush Hour, which has got Bill and myself as the people on the show. Bill's broadcasting remotely from Geelong, and I'm broadcasting remotely from down the beach, and you're the only one who's bothered to actually turn up.
It does seem funny being the guest and the only person who's actually in the studio, Jim, but yeah. And also, too, I cannot work out why Bill, even in 2021, we've all got 12 months now of experience on Zoom and WebEx and whatever else we use, but Bill, you're on a little thumbnail. No one can see you, Bill.
Jim, Damien, it's a slim Zoom, this one it's called. This one. And by the way, I'm not there. Jim's not there. Jill's not there either.
That's a good point.
Thank God for Rabsy and Damo. Where are we going to start? The good, please.
Let's start with the goods, Bill. I loved the game yesterday at Marvel Stadium. Loved the way the Bulldogs retrieved a 27-point deficit. And it was no surprise that it was led by Marcus Bontempelli, Jim, who's just putting together, I reckon, a Brownlow medal-winning season.
I was going to say, he's got to be in the lead, doesn't he? If you're stopping the voting now, he's got to be very close to leading it.
I can't see how he's not. Nathan Brown does the personal Brownlow track, and he's got him at 9 votes, which was equal with McCluggage, I think it was, at this stage of the season. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's got more than the 3x3 best on grounds, which Brownie's got him down for. I think he's just been outstanding all year. They've only lost the one game, and history says when you're winning games of footy, you sometimes get the ones and twos that may not necessarily be obviously there. So I thought he was great. And you might need an apology, Jim, for Josh Bruce. He's been good this year, Jim. Five goals in that big win.
Why do I need an apology?
I thought you were critical last week.
For North Melbourne, from where he is, because every time he plays North, he just fills his boots.
Yeah, he does.
But I was watching a very disappointing performance by my nephew's team up there in Brisbane. So I didn't see enough of this game, but what the hell happened? Carlton looked like they had full control.
Well, it was full control. There was 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter for those who didn't watch it kick by kick, and they were 27 points up. But out of nowhere, the Dogs just got it going. Bailey Smith was pretty crucial, I think, in the turnaround. And Caleb Daniel then went back to where he's best, and that is the back line. He started getting some control around it. And then, Bruce was really crucial. Aaron Norton, actually, Jim, was well held for most of the game by Wietering, but still stood up at key times. Kicked two goals, put him in front at one stage. And, they just ran away with it in the end. And the Blues got one goal back late in the piece, like really, really late when it was already done and lost. And, another disappointing performance by the Blues. We'll get to them on the other side of the bad situation out of the weekend. Another positive, Bill, and you're probably surprised we didn't lead with this, the Cats way back on Friday night. But that was a statement, wasn't it, Gio? I know we discussed it on the Saturday rub, but that was as big a premiership statement as we've seen from any of the premiership contenders this year with what they did in the third quarter against the three-time premiership winning Tigers.
They were very, very good. And Fat, the other thing you need to acknowledge as a Richmond fan is as good as your system is and as good as your list is and as good as your coach, they're all amazing. When you get crucial injury, it's very hard to cope with it. And the four players they had out are in their top five or six.
Oh, no doubt about that. And we take that on board, of course. But also, if you just put a bit of pressure and you outlast their pressure, you out Richmond, that's what the Cats did. All of a sudden, they made mistakes and they looked human, that Richmond back line. And they did make some mistakes. And I love the three-headed monster. Oh, what about that? Cameron, Rowan and Hawkins. 15 goals between them, 21 marks, 42 score involvements. And look, I know we love what Cameron's done because he's freed up Rowan, he's freed up Tomahawk. But Tomahawk, just how unselfish he is and giving away was unbelievable. And also the first game for the three big recruits, I think it's important, with Cameron, Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins. But it all just clicked and all of a sudden the ball bounces their way. They get a good free kick and things like that and they're away.
Jim, you know the way Bill's wired, don't you, with how he can embrace the ideas of certain other people. The three-headed monster phrase he's now running with. Just told him in an ad break yesterday on the footy show, it's not a bad phrase he could embrace, and he's just taking it on. He even raised a graphic on short notice yesterday.
Himself.
Like a big dinosaur with three heads on it with those three headshots. I like it, Bill, though.
Well, there was a great big fat monster in the Geelong rooms after the game. Amazing how good performance, and he just out of nowhere just arrives and started heckling the seven talent who were trying to broadcast to the nation.
Is it true, Jim? He was standing with the new chairman and the retiring CEO Brian Cook and Bill. Is that right?
Yep. That's exactly right. And Duck, we're trying to broadcast, and all I could hear is, Jim! Jim! Go Cats! Go Cats! I'm like, this is a fully grown man at his most embarrassing.
Just a fan. I'm just a fan and I loved it.
You're enough, enough.
Are you a fan, Bill, of Asava Radigalia getting the ruck knot over Stanley?
Yes.
Bruce Stanley?
Yes, I am. I also love the work Mark Blitzarves also did. But yes, Sava, his first, his second, his third, fourth efforts were really, really good. That was important, I thought, from the get-go. And I love Tom Stewart running with Dusty Martin too. That was a really good... and well done to the coach, because coaches get knocked around all the time. And you hear a lot of them, they only got plan A and things like that. But Chris Scott has actually changed his game style, hasn't he, mid-season, after about round two or three. And it's certainly paying off.
I think it helped with Cameron coming into that mix, didn't it? For him to then be able to do what he probably did want to do all along, and that is change it up in the middle. But Cameron down forward has just changed the complete workings of that footy club.
A couple of meritorious wins, and when I say that, both games they should have won, but sometimes you can drop them. I thought the Saints were really good against the Gold Coast in a game that could have gone the other way easily. Yep. And Melbourne against Sydney, you've got to congratulate those two clubs for finding a way.
You do, Jim. We'll start with the order in which you raised them. That game was heading away from St Kilda, and it would have been season over, I reckon, at that stage. They would have been 3-5. As it is, they're 4-4. It's no coincidence that the two wins in succession now in the past 2 weeks have come with Paddy Ryder back in that team. He's so crucial. He was crucial in that latter stages of that game. And so too were their other big men, weren't they? Remember, he had a really good patch as well. Marshall got involved in some play. And look, King did enough around the ball without absolutely dominating. But yeah, there's enough to like about him, Jim. They've just hung in there, haven't they? And a 4-4, you're still a chance. They've got a bit of a stretch now that comes up. And yeah, they just had to get through that early part of the season with those big injuries they had. And the other game you mentioned, Melbourne, look, the Swans are a real deal. We now know that. They've lost the three games, but they're going to be right up there. Their ladder position suggests that already. And I thought what they did on the weekend on a pretty greasy night was good. What I liked, Jim, was that it was the first sign in the two games he's played that Ben Brown's going to work. I mean, I always thought he was, for what it's worth, but his first hit out against North Melbourne was all over the place. But it was almost his first game in 12 months. He hasn't played since round 10 of last year, came back last weekend, and now he's got a game under his belt with three goals to his name. And the other one we've been talking about all year as being a surprise packet in Tom McDonald. But he's done this before, hasn't he? He did it in 2018. He was a crucial member of what happened in that prelim final year. And what I liked about that game too, Jim, was the fact that Pickett, who's been so extraordinary this year, and Fritch, who kicked six last week, look, they had their roles to play, but they really didn't have a great impact in what happened.
Now, I might be on my own, Purple, and I've been down here, so I haven't been as aware of the great maelstrom that is the press around AFL footy. I liked what Port Adelaide did.
Did you?
I liked that. I liked the putting the jumpers on. It was naughty. It was a bit...
smarter.
Stick that up here, you know, yeah. It was all of that, but I don't mind it. Every now and then there's a spot for that. That tongue in their cheek, they're like, have this. I actually didn't mind it.
Yeah, I didn't get too worked up about it. Tony Jones said they were smart, Alex. Others didn't like it. But I think what they did in the confines of their dressing room, obviously it's broadcast what goes on inside a club room these days, as we know. But it was done in a way that couldn't antagonise too many people, apart from one obvious one who's got wound up again, as always he does. But that being the former chairman of the, or former president of the Collingwood Footy Club. But yeah, look, I didn't get too worked over it, Jim. I don't know whether I would have gone down the path necessarily of doing it. But look, they embraced it, didn't they? It's not as if they half-heartedly did it. They were all in on it, which says that the players are, as much as David Koch wanting this to happen.
I tell you, I loved it, Jim. The supporters and the fans, they love that. And that's what they're about, Port Adelaide, aren't they? They are very much about their supporters and their fans. So, look, in the end, it's okay. Well,
and Jim, just as you mentioned before, with some meritorious wins, I feel GWS goes into that category too with what they did against Essendon. Okay, Essendon's 2-6, and they probably needed to win, but they're now 4-4. Again, we mentioned the effect and impact that Ryder has had on St Kilda. Mumford Bill, he's actually batting at the same strike rate of 100%, but he's got four games of 100%. The one downside, though, and it's emerged since the game, and it happened late in the game, very, very late in the game, is that Lachie Keefe's gone down with what will be a second ACL problem for him. The first came for him, of course, in his first club at Collingwood back in 2012. So for him at 31 to be out for the remainder of this season, he is contracted, fortunately for him. It's a recently signed deal, but for next year. But they're going to have to get through the remainder of this year, which has already been a battle for them on the injury front without him.
Key defenders as well. They're bloody hard to find. Brisbane, very good. Did watch that guy. I thought we'll discuss Freo in the next segment because, as soon as they get in the playing, they're bloody half the side they are at home.
Yeah, they
but
are. Aren't
Brisbane,
they?
I thought, were very good.
Yeah, they got it out to, I think it was 47 points, wasn't it, at one stage? It was certainly in the 40s, and I think it was the high 40s, and came back to 25 or 26, but it was game over. And they've just got their mojo back fully, haven't they, now? They had that real rough patch, which was not of their doing, some of it, in terms of being stuck in Melbourne with the COVID situation, but They've got back to Brisbane. They look really good. They're beating up on the lesser teams. And more importantly, too, they've got Charlie Cameron, haven't they, Jim, back in form. The last fortnight for him has been really good. And it was a bit of a concern at one stage, just early days, when Joe Danaher and he were just either getting in each other's way or going for the same ball or even on some instances just nowhere near it because they're trying to clear the space out for one or the other. But Danaher's clearly playing further up the ground now. It's benefiting Cameron, and you can just see right now that they're going to be right back where they've been the past 2 years. High, high finish in finals.
All right, you've been very complimentary, Purple. Let's maybe head down another path with this next segment.
It's a Rush Hour, Triple M.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Damien Barrett's in the studio, gone through the positives from round eight. Now it's about the dreaded negatives.
And I'm going to take over here, Damo, because I saw a negative on the weekend. And let me tell you, it's your mob, Jim. Fair dinkum, Jim. Now, Banners are back at...
They lost seven games in a row, so it wouldn't be that surprising they lost an eighth.
Well, they've lost eight. But, Jim, I'm talking about on field before the game. Their banners are back. So North Melbourne put up their banner, Jim. I don't know if you saw this on the weekend.
No, I didn't.
But I'll read it out to you. So North's banner goes up, and this is what it read, Jim. Kanga, kanga, kanga. Mush, roo, roo, room. Let us squash the pies. Jim.
I beg your pardon? I didn't say that.
Jim.
No, I didn't say that.
Kanga,
just because
kanga,
I was in the car
kanga.
Driving down here and I didn't get to see it doesn't mean you can make things up.
Jim, kanga, 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 no. Mush, roo, roo, room,
Jim.
Let us squash the pies. That's your mob, Jim.
Fat. Even when I was the chairman of the club, I had nothing to do with what was on the banners. I have absolutely nothing to do with it now, but I don't want you making things up just because I didn't get to see it.
Jim, that's not quite true with you saying you had nothing to do with the cheer squad. You once famously sat with the cheer squad.
And I
think you
them.
Need to
Great
get
people.
Back involved and sort that out. If indeed that is what happened on the weekend, that is unacceptable, Jim.
You know I didn't do the banners. I did sit in the cheer squad once every year and loved it. They were great people.
Oh, you loved it,
Loved it.
You wouldn't
sure
remember one of those
about.
Names would have met over that journey, Jim, would you, Jim?
I'm not sure that's what you want on your banner. We need to look into that a little. Speaking of which, I didn't see any of that game. Were they any better, Natty, North? Or What was the story?
Look, there was one person I would have thought they would have been keen to stop in a game against Collingwood, that being the bloke who ended up with six goals, Jordan Ngoi. So it didn't work out at all, Jim. And look, while the margin was lesser than it had been, or less than it had been in the previous seven losses, it was still another loss against a team that at that stage was one rung above them on the ladder. So they've got a game against Hawthorn now, Bill, who's equally as disappointing as North Melbourne, I feel now, in the context of the 2021 season. And
what's Fat doing? What was that? What are you eating? You're down at Cremorne. What are you eating?
Curried sausages, Jim, just turned up.
Oh, my God.
Have a look at that. Curried sausages, Fat, and mash.
Bill, we're in the middle of a segment with Damo and you're eating curried sausages.
Exactly. They're on the specials board. I said, I've got to have them at the creamy. Jim, curried sausages and mash.
Bill, we're on air.
No, we're not.
We're actually broadcasting. Look at him.
Have you got that little bit of bread with the butter on it, Bill, as well?
No bread. I can't believe it. But have a look
at
that.
What sort of behaviour is this?
Oh, he's holding it.
That's a curried sausage. How good is that?
Is that a gourmet sausage, Bill?
Actually, it is. I like the longer, thinner ones. But they're not bad, the old curried sausage. There you go.
Look at him.
Anyway, Damien, where were you?
That's the dish of the day, is it? For $13.90 at the at the pub.
No, $10 for that curried sausage. Bit of broccoli.
We were talking about the matchup this week, actually. You package up North Melbourne and Hawthorn. They've got a game against each other in Tassie on Saturday. And yeah, they're both going terribly. The two games Hawthorn have won, Jim, both been against Essendon and it was Adelaide, wasn't it? And in both games,
came from a long
40
way back.
Points down against Essendon and 33, I think it was, against the Crows. That's just Alistair Clarkson being a master match day coach when he wants to be and needs to be and chooses to be. But yeah, in terms of the big picture, though, I really do feel that they've got almost as many problems as North Melbourne. And North Melbourne's problems are now obvious. There's 16 losses in a row, the first eight of this year, the last eight of last year. And then you package up some other matches. They've only won one of their past 23. That's the North Melbourne team. And Hawthorn have only got two out of the eight to this point of this year. But yeah, both going poorly on and off field, those two teams.
I like what
you mean. Before we finish it, what do you mean off field with, well, actually with both, but certainly Hawthorn? Hawthorn are a pretty well run club, aren't they? What do you mean by
there's issues with the Dingley redevelopment. I mean, Jeff Kennett's issues with the state premier here, Jim, which you probably agree with him on, I would imagine. But it's forced a funding issue that hasn't resulted in a good outcome for the Hawks when it comes to that new big base they wanted to have at Dingley. So they've got to wade through a few issues of those, and they've got to get their head around the Alistair Clarkson situation. We know he's contracted for the end of next season, so I don't see him being a person to break a contract. But at the same time, you know, he's been there since 2005 now, and you know, they're going to have to sort their situations out and go public with them at some stage. I would think in the next probably half a season here, we've got to deal with in terms of what they are going to be doing beyond 2022 when it comes to all of that.
All right, who else have you got in the target?
Yeah, Carlton, it's a regular, isn't it, in this segment on the Monday on this program, but they just continually fail to win or change their own course. And their own course season, 3 wins, 5 losses. We touched on it a few moments ago. They were 5 goals up or 27 points specifically against the Bulldogs. And from that moment onwards, just did not fire a shot. They got the best out of their forwards. Betts returned to his best in the first two and a bit quarters, three quarters. Kicked 5 goals for the match. McKay is putting together a great football season. He kicked 4. I would have thought if someone said to Carlton, you're going to get 4 out of McKay, 5 out of Betts,
You win.
In the end, they got blown away by halfway through the last quarter. Wiedering couldn't have done much more against Norton. We touched on that already. He had 2 goals kicked on him, but he set it up for them. Williams has been disappointing, very disappointing, Zach Williams. And I don't care what anyone says, but Paddy Cripps is either injured or he's half the footballer he once was. And the club at this stage is saying he's not injured. So until we're told otherwise, Jim and Bill, we just have to accept the fact that he's just not playing the type of footy that he wants to be playing and the club needs him to be playing.
Spot on. The leaders didn't stand up, whereas the leaders for the Dogs did, no doubt about that. What did David Teague say? Because he has said the same thing a lot this year
loss. He does.
What did he say the same, Damo?
Let's not be too judgmental on the evidence of this one game. Let's look at the big picture, and we feel we're tracking to be a top four team and to win finals. I mean, I don't see it, and I haven't seen it for a very long time at Carlton, and he just keeps trotting out those positive lines, which to me don't reflect where they're at. Now, there are reasons for that. He needs to remain upbeat in the way he feels he needs to present himself. But to me, I think it's making their problem even worse because it's not realistic in a reflection of what they're dishing up. Gold Coast, too, similar to Carlton with what they did against St Kilda, did enough to put themselves in with a massive chance to win the game of footy, but didn't. And it's just it's a regular theme, isn't it, now, that they just don't win. And again, when you're playing against St Kilda, Bill, it's not as if you're playing against a Geelong or a Port Adelaide or a Bulldogs. You're playing St Kilda. So they were gettable. They had them where they wanted them at the early stages of that last quarter. And could it get it done? And Jim, you touched on the problems for Richmond. They're 4-4 of the three premiership winning years, 2017, 19 and 20. This is the worst form line they've had after eight rounds. They were 4 wins, 3 losses and a draw last year. So slightly worse than that even. But what they're dealing with right now is injuries en masse to key players. Edwards being the latest one to be added to Cochin, who's out indefinitely to a point with that soft tissue and Prestia and Lambert. And you'd think Grimes would come back this week after the concussion. But that's 4 at least very good players. You could add Soldo to that list as well, who would be getting some games if he was fit.
We always say that they're a part of footy injuries, and they are, and they're not an excuse, and no one uses them as an excuse, but they are definitely a reason.
Yeah.
If you get mass injury to your key players, it is so much harder to be as good as you can be. It's just obvious. You know, you take your 5 of your best 10 players out, Purple, it is very, very difficult week on week to still keep winning, and they're no different to anyone else in that regard. Their best team is exceptional, as we've seen over the last 4 years, but take the real good cattle out, and it's just bloody hard to win.
Yeah. Yep. You wanted to touch on Frio, Jim. You just mentioned a few moments ago.
So they're brilliant at Optus Stadium. We know that. They've got elite players. Fife and Mundy are extraordinary. I think a couple of the young midfielders are going to be really good. I feel for them because, a bit like you were just saying, 3 of their best defenders are not able to be selected, and it's bloody hard when you're playing against a side like Brisbane that are repeatedly entering forward 50 and you haven't got Pearce and you haven't got Hamling and you haven't got the other one, which I can't think of his name. So that makes it hard. But Purple, as soon as they get on a plane, for whatever reason, they are half the team that they are in Perth.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it's true.
Yeah, and again, we just talked about Gold Coast and Carlton. There's a sameness to them when they lose, isn't it? We don't expect them to win these games that they could, and they don't. They don't ever surprise us, do they, when it comes to the game of footy? So, yeah, I've been disappointed with them this year. I felt that they were going to be pressing up into the 8. And look, they might still because of their weight of games at home, but at the same time, they're not going to be doing anything more than that on what they've shown to this point of this year.
And nothing forward of the ball. Like, Tabana is okay, I reckon. But outside of that, and little Sonny Walters has obviously been a superstar, but he's getting to the end.
Yeah.
But when they get forward of the centre circles, they're a bit like Collingwood for me. I just don't... I mean, DeGoey obviously had a day out the other day, but when you haven't got targets that are going to absolutely catch fire, you become pretty easy to play against.
That's right. And that's where Lobb, he's just got to get better, I suppose. And I saw Big Das float forward a couple of times. I hope Big Das and kick one, but they just haven't got enough up there, have they?
No, and it doesn't help either, Jim, when the two-time Brownlow medalist and an all-time great in Nat Fife just continually misses shots that... I think
how do you do that?
An amateur player would kick in his sleep. So, I don't know.
Purple, that's a 2-foot putt.
Yeah.
That's a US Tour player repeatedly missing 2-foot putts. I just don't know how he does it.
No.
He's so elite at everything he does in the game, Nate Fyfe, except for that.
Yeah, and look, I hate to sort of bring back a low moment, but back in the 2013 grand final, he missed some shots at goal that the absolute all-time best, would at least get near. And, it was costly given what happened in that game, but with those shots at goal before halftime.
All right, any buses? Creamy. What else you got?
Yeah, just the buses.
Well, have you finished your sausages, or what are you doing?
Well, I've just had a break from the sausages because I had to have a listen in to Damo.
Is that mashed potato with the sausage, Bill?
Well, mashed potato and onion, if you don't mind, umpire. Got some veggies there. And also...
Oh, no! You can't open the frothy!
No, that's a ginger beer, isn't it? That wasn't...
No, just for the people, it's a ginger
beer. It's a ginger beer,
that's
all right.
It's got to be some sort of standards. Rabbit Son, are there broadcasting standards that mean you can't open a beer up while you're on here?
I think we've broken every one of them in 11 years, so...
And that's a 10 buck meal a day, is it, Bill?
I don't know if it's 10 bucks. It might be a bit more. But I just want to run through that banner. Where's that banner again? I'm trying to find... Kanga, Kanga, purple. Kanga. Mush, roo, up, roo, roo. Let us squash the pies.
Well, I think on the back of what Bill's revealed here, we'll send the second bus down to Arden Street. One, we've already got one down there already. It's anchored and it's already got the parking permit for the year down there. We'll send the second one to deal with the cheer squad as well. But we're going to send one to Hawthorn as well. But they need to have a proper looking at this week as well before that game against North Melbourne. And that one, Jim, it's been there for many times now. There's that grass that's gone white underneath it. Yep. The one at Carlton. We just never got rid of it. It's still there, and it's going to be reactivated this week.
Ooh, wow.
All right, great catching up with you, Purple. Thanks very much for that.
Cheers, boys.
Damo's recovery session.
Bill's joke still to come, but up next, what is trending unusual? It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. On the brand new listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Oh, Jim, I can't believe. See, you're not in the studio, so sucked in. What stories are trending unusual? I like this one. This passed my desk. American expat.
Yes.
Is slammed for his list of things Australia needs to learn from the US. So he's an Aussie, he's gone over there and living, and he's put it out on TikTok on a video, right. Jim, which has since been taken down.
What's his list?
Well, a couple of the things he's saying. Paying at the petrol pump. So he's saying it saves time, saves energy, you pay at the pump, you don't have to go inside, okay? Another thing he says is free chips and salsa at Mexican restaurants. So you go down, you go in, you sit down, and there's a basket of chips right there and sauces. So he likes that. Also he says we should have hanging traffic lights, you know, they have over in America.
Yes,
Jim.
Yep.
He reckons they work, they're really good, you can see from way back and all that, right? So he went on with a few other stupid things, but did he get some backlash from the good old Aussies? One of them wrote, Jim, Australians actually like each other. We don't mind going into the petrol station and talking to the attendant and each other in the line. Another one said, how about you worry about America first, buddy, and then come back to me when you guys have gun control, free healthcare, and pay pass debit cards everywhere. So he copped it. I think he copped that much of a backlash, Jim. He had to pull it down.
Well, Bill, I hear the great Australian defending of our magnificent country, but if we can just park that for a second,
what do you
completely agree about paying for your petrol at the pump. It's lunacy that you have to walk inside and pay behind the jump. Why isn't there just a bloody FPOS thing on the side of the machine? Just tap it, get back in your car and drive off. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, it does. But honestly, I don't mind going in and paying. I like it. You buy a nice.
No, that's because you get a. I'm about to say, you get
coffee.
Some chocolates and twisties and iced coffee, and that's why you like going in there.
Red Frogs I got and some quickies. I had a bit of heartburn yesterday, so. But like doing that. So. But anyway, that's quite interesting. But good on the Aussies.
I had some heartburn today after the curried sausage as well, mate.
Oh, yeah. What about that?
Well, we did have. Yes, we have had them. They were nice. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, look at him. And a ginger beer.
Yeah, it wasn't beer for those who have wrote in and said you can't do that on air, which I don't know if there is a law against. That's another thing I want to know. Why can't I pay with cash at footy stadiums, Jim, now?
Sucked in. I think it's the best thing ever because it's caught you out. You only ever have cash or a checkbook.
That's right.
And now you can't pay for anything. Sucked in.
Well, it's a bloody annoying, so I don't like it. Anyway, sucked in whoever picked up my bowl of chips the other day at Marvel when I'd ate about 10 or 12 of the chips and had one bit of chicken. And I had to put it back because I couldn't pay cash. So I had to put it back in the stand.
Is that the end of your story, Trending Unusual?
Yeah, that's it, yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty disappointing segment, isn't it, really?
Well, all right, what else have I got?
It wasn't a great segment, that one, was it?
No. Yeah,
the Bowen Heads footy?
Oh, I've got something for you here, Jim. Thank you, Raps.
Yes.
What about this? Just coincidence, this is. We have a segment called Coincidence, and this is it.
Do
here.
We?
What about the Bowen Heads? Bowen Heads played Geelong Ammos on the weekend, okay? So let me read you out the reserve score. Bowen Heads, 15-11-101. Ammos, 6-8-44. Reserves Cup, okay? Let me read out the senior score, Jim. Bowen Heads, 15-11-101. Geelong Ammos, 6-8-44. Can you believe that? Both scores exactly the same for the first and the seconds.
That's Jim. Amazing, Bill.
Jim, that is. I'd love to know what odds that would be that would happen in the first or and the seconds.
Fat, Jim. This is part of the reason why I control this show, so this shit doesn't go to air. I'm serious.
Don't you like Bill. The segment Coincidence?
Coincidences.
No. Never heard of a segment called Coincidence.
No, Coincidences.
And Stories Trending Unusual is just a constant disappointment.
Actually, to be fair, Jill, that's Jill's idea, that one.
Oh.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
On tomorrow's show, Pete Hallier is going to join us in the studio. He's got a brand new show, How to Stay Married. And Melbourne Storm's Brandon Cheese Smith is going to be on the show. Yes, the hectic cheese. Who rumour has it didn't sleep too much on the weekend.
Oh, no. He never does. And Peter Hallier is talking about how to stay married. Probably should have come in 4 or 5 years ago, Jim.
Now, Fat, yes. You got anything that's going to make us laugh?
Yes, yes, I have.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Now, I suppose you heard about poor old Bill Gates and his missus, Rusty. They separated, of course.
Rusty.
They separated, Jim. And I...
Is it Rusty or is it front or is it back? Or yeah, how many can you... Broken...
Broken.
Which one do you want to go
boom.
With?
Boom. I like boom.
That's it.
I think it's
security.
Hang on, I'll just think of some.
Go on, think of another one.
Great.
Side.
Gated. No. Right, so there's a judge talking to Bill, and I think it's Melinda, by the way.
Yes.
And he said, Mrs. Gates, in two words, describe your love life. And she said, micro and soft.
Oh, no.
Jim.
No. Well, it's probably grounds for divorce.
Oh, no.
And do you know Bill and Melinda Gates, they got divorced, Jim. Melinda got the house. But Bill kept the windows.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no. You see, you had a decent one, and then you went with a second one that's just garbage.
We'll cut that second one out, Ramsey.
We'll get rid of that second one. I think that's a good idea. We'll get rid of that one. Stay with just the first one.
Oh,
good show.
Good show. When are you coming back, Jim? When are you coming back?
No, I'm not. Never. Jim's not coming back.
Bill's got curry sausages.
Oh, no.